Good morning. Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine, voice of God and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. Holy Spirit, joy divine, gladden now this heart of mine. In the desert ways I sing, spring, O living water, spring. Would you open up your brown hymnals, which of course I left down there. Thank you. To number 217, to sing with us, Spirit of God. And this book was given to me when I went to live in the States so long ago it hardly seems true anymore. And on top of this song, somebody wrote, Lainey will really miss you. I'm glad they didn't have to miss me too long. Would you please stand and sing all four verses? This morning as I was preparing the prayer, which I wasn't really sure that I wanted to do, there was one particular thing that struck me, and it's actually a line in here, and it says, teach me the patience of an answered prayer, something that I definitely need to work on sometimes. I wondered, you know, how much there was to actually be able to find to read about the Holy Spirit. And I was amazed at how much there was. And it just so happened that last week I was at a concert and I opened up the hymn book in that particular church. And I found what I thought was the perfect thing to read for our call to worship. renewing our spirits. Like a river of tears, your love pours upon us. Like a sunshine of blessing, your grace will sustain us. Like a star-studded sky, your spirit shines over us, renewing our spirits with courage and faith. Like a bird in free spirit, by windows around us, like a wind in the forest that breathes life among us, like a phoenix that's rising from ashes around us, renewing our spirits with vision and grace. Like a pillar of cloud, you promise to guide us. Like a bright, fiery bush, you come to speak to us. Like a calm, cooling breeze, your spirit breathes in us, renewing our spirits with loving embrace. Like the sun's warm rays of this morning, your spirit revives us. Like a song of the soul, you come to be with us. Like a prayer of the heart, you heal and restore us, renewing our spirits with future to face. In our announcements this morning, if you'll open up your announcements, I would first of all like to welcome everyone who's come to join us this morning. Those of you who have returned from vacations, welcome back. And to the Mercia family who will be singing for us this morning, thank you so much for coming to share your gift of music. And in announcements, in the hospital we have Heinrich Klein. He is in Concordia. Hildegard Knopf is at home. And you'll also see a list of personal care at Bethania, quite a list of our membership there. Under number one, James and Kim Zacharias continue to ask for prayer, and we pray for them with Melanie. Martin and Annie Bergen extend some thanks to the congregation and all of the blessings, and also for Pastor Gary in his visits. And a prayer of thanks from Alvin Taves on all the caring prayers and thoughts, and also again for Gary, Pastor Gary's support on the passing of his brother, Gary. Under number five, I would like to ask if you would come forward, Phil, and you can share that announcement.
Yes, number five, Pancake Breakfast, the Boys Club Pancake Breakfast is happening next Saturday, 9 to 11. So hopefully everyone comes out to enjoy some pancakes. And if anyone wants to be extra helpful and help in the kitchen, we always like extra help as well. So you can talk to me. All right. See you then.
Do you have maple syrup? I know, I was just teasing, because I just had to go out and buy that specific want for my son and his family, which I always take to New Zealand when I go. And so that's already packed and ready to go. Under number eight, we have announcement again, and we're going to probably highlight this every Sunday until I go on my holiday to see my family. It's about that smorg, and I haven't looked today yet to see how many more have you signed up, but you know, keep signing up. We really appreciate all the help and all of you who volunteer, because without you, we can't make that a success. It's always a wonderful time for us to get together and visit. Under number 10, just a little quick highlight. It's wonderful to see the Sunday school, the youth and junior youth getting together to do a little project. Also under number 11, you will have found a document that was placed in your mailbox. Take a moment to read that. It does speak about the church and the Manitoba Church and the camp restructuring plan. I know you won't be able to... Pastor Gary said if you wanted to read the Confession of Faith, you could do that if the sermon got boring. I said, I'm sure it wouldn't get boring. We could always read that at home. There are a lot of announcements, as there always are, beyond NKMC, but one thing I would like to highlight is number 23. This morning, actually, Frank Neufeld is at Springfield Heights, and he is bringing greetings from our congregation as they celebrate 50 years of their church and their worship. So I think that's something wonderful to be thankful for them as well. Now we're going to have a time of sharing, unless there's anybody else who has more announcements. So Ingo has the mic, and I know that sharing isn't always easy for most of us. Some of us are able to get up a little quicker and share what's in our hearts, whether it's sadness, whether it's happiness. But we would really like to encourage you, if you have something to share, something wonderful, something not so wonderful, feel free to stand up and share.
Hello, I think you all know me, Elizabeth. I just wanted to share about our son, Jacob. He is finally saying his first word, and it's yes, which is very funny because Astrid's first word was nine, which means no. So this one's more positive. So, and he's also been taking a new medicine, some antibiotics, and it's really helping him sleep better at night. So that's good.
That's unfortunate because I'm up front and I could pretty well share anything with you, right? Because that's what I get to do if I'm up here. So I'll just share with you that today, although it's 2 years and one day, because in New Zealand it's one day already, my little grandson is 2 years old and I'm looking so forward to seeing him in a few weeks. We're going to ask Ingrid to come up and share the story for all the children. Everybody has gifts in church. And if you haven't recognized what yours are, maybe yours are storytelling the way Ingrid tells a story. I love to listen to them just as much as the kids do. So come on up.
There are no children. Maybe you have to sit on the floor.
I'll sit on the floor too. Yep.
Hi, Marie. No, Colby, Ivan, Astrid. Oh, good morning. Hi, Jean. Okay, does everyone know this guy? Watch, his SpongeBob, because the people can't see. What's happening to SpongeBob? Am I touching him? Is he falling? Does anyone know why? Am I magical? Why, Jean? What do you think that is at the back? A magnet, yes. So I can make SpongeBob move when I move the magnet behind the piece of paper. Do you see that? Today the grown-ups in church are going to be hearing about something called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's a little bit like this magnet. It's a force that we can't really see, but it helps us to do the things that are good and right. Now, what happens if I take SpongeBob, I move him over here, and I have my magnet over here? What do you think is going to happen when I let him go? He is going to fall. There he goes. All the way over there, and the magnet's over here. Is it doing him any good when he's so far away from the magnet? No. And that's another thing that we need to remember. Can you go and get him for me, please? That if we want the Holy Spirit to be a help in our life, we have to stay close to it. And one of the ways that we can stay close to the Holy Spirit is to surround ourselves with people who love God and want to do good things too. And that's part of what church is, to help us surround ourselves with people who want to do God's will. And then does the magnet work when he's close to it? Yes, that's how the Holy Spirit can help us too. So if we could just bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to guide us in the way you want us to go. Help us to stay close to you so that we can feel the power of your Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. And you guys get to go to Sunday school now, I think. There's no Sunday school today?
No Sunday school?
Okay, sorry. Go sit with your mom and dad.
Even I didn't realize she had a magnet behind there. We'd like to call upon the Mercia family to sing for us. Thank you.
Señor mi Dios, al contemplar los cielos, el firmamento, las estrellas mil, al oír tu voz en los potentes truenos y ver brillar el sol en su ceñir, al recorrer los montes y los valles y ver las bellas flores al pasar, al escuchar el canto de las aves y el murmurar del claro manantial, mi corazón entona la canción, cuán grande es cuán grande es Él. Mi corazón entona la canción, cuán grande es Él, cuán grande es Él.
Yo solo.
Cuando el recuerdo del amor divino que desde el cielo al Salvador envió, aquel Jesús que por salvarme vino y en una cruz sufrió por mí, murió. Cuando el Señor me llame a su presencia, al dulce hogar, al cielo de esplendor, le adoraré cantando la grandeza de su amor y su infinito amor. Mi corazón entona la canción, cuán grande es Él, cuán grande es Él. Mi corazón entona la canción, cuán grande es Él, cuán grande es
I have a lovely poster in my house that says, music is not only heard by your ear, but felt by the heart. So regardless of the language, yes, of course, we know the song, but you understand the sense and the heart and the feeling. Would you join me, please, in a prayer? Lord, you know our hearts. You know our joys, our sorrows. You know our fears and pain. You know our disappointments and bitterness that stem from life's events. Pour your Holy Spirit into us where we have had faith struggles. We pray for our church community, for those who mourn losses through death of loved ones or illness that have changed their lives. We pray for our members in personal care homes and hospital, and are so grateful for the places where they are cared for. We pray for the many who live in despair around the world, who live in poverty, in war, and refugee camps. Send your Holy Spirit into their lives and the minds of all our world leaders. We pray for those who live in silent despair, at times who suffer from mental health issues, addictions, and all the struggles we face in life at times. Give us your Holy Spirit to revive us. Give us renewed hope and strength, and the courage to seek your Spirit when heavy burdens want to close us off from you and our prayers seem unanswered. Bring your Holy Spirit into our hearts this morning as we listen to your word and we fellowship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For your offering hymn, if you would please take again your Mennonite hymnals, the brown ones, and open it to 215, Come Gracious Spirit.
Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our God, and thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, o'er every thought and step preside. The light of truth make us know and choose thy way. Plant holy fear in every heart, that we from God may ne'er depart, that we from God may ne'er depart. Lead us to godliness the road, which we to dwell with God. Lead us to Christ, the living way. No, let us from his pasture stray. No, let us from his pasture stray. Lead us to God, our final rest, to be with him. Joy forever there, fullness of joy forever there.
We'll call upon the Mircea family again.
Estoy pensando en Dios, estoy pensando en su amor, estoy pensando en Dios, estoy pensando en su amor. Olvida al hombre a su Señor y poco a poco se desvía. Y entre angustia y cobardía va perdiéndose el amor. Dios le habla como amigo, huye el hombre de su voz. Estoy pensando en Dios, estoy pensando en su amor, estoy pensando en Dios. estoy pensando en su amor. Todo podría ser mejor si mi pueblo procurase caminar sin alejarse del camino del Señor. Pero el hombre no hace suyo los senderos del amor. Estoy pensando en Dios, estoy pensando en su amor. Estoy pensando en Dios, estoy pensando en su amor. Todo podría ser mejor si en fervor y en alegría fuesen las madres María y los padres San José, y sus hijos imitasen a Jesús de Nazaret. Estoy pensando en Dios.
Jesús de Nazaret, Jesús de Nazaret.
Estoy pensando en su amor.
Estoy pensando en Dios, estoy pensando en su amor. I think in Lord, my God. Estoy pensando en Dios.
I thinking about God. It's about the Son. And I'm thinking about my Lord. It's about the Son.
Estoy pensando en Dios. Estoy pensando en su amor.
You can repeat.
Estoy pensando en Dios. Estoy pensando en su amor.
Again.
Estoy pensando en Dios, estoy pensando en su amor.
Por finis.
Estoy pensando en Dios, estoy pensando en su amor.
Thank you.
The scripture reading this morning is found in your bulletins, and you can read along with me. The first one is Zechariah 4, verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And in John 14, 15 to 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And under Acts 1, 8, and then 2, 17 and 18. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy.
For the last number of Sundays, we've been talking about reimagining the church. I've got a little carried away with time. I've been reminded by our youth pastor, youth worker, Chris. He says, you know, kind of shorten it up a little bit. Reminded me of a of a pastor who was saying one Sunday, he said, last Sunday, there were so many points in the sermon. This Sunday, I'll shorten it. The sermon is pointless. Let's pray. Well, God, we've come as your people, as your church, to worship you, to think about you, to learn about you, to recommit ourselves to follow you. Be with us and open our hearts and our eyes and our lives to see your spirit and to allow you to lead us where you would want us to go. Amen. When I was about 10, so that's a couple of years ago, 40 or more, don't have to be so quick to point that out, Linda. When I was about 10, at Christmas time, I got this amazing gift. Opened the package, and there it was, a Jupiter gyro. Thing is amazing. So I look on this, on the box cover, and there's this thing. It's a gyroscope, like a, in the shape of a spaceship balancing on a string. And I look around the edge of the box. There's all these pictures about what this thing can do. And I'm pumped. I'm 10, right? And so I'm looking at these pictures, whip open the box, get all the stuff together, snap together what you had to. That was the good old days. Most stuff was assembled. And I went to turn it on. Nothing. I'm a man. I have to try more than once. Nothing happens. So, if all else fails, right, get out the instructions, insert 2C batteries. So, we'd run around the house, find AA batteries, find D batteries, no C batteries. And this is 40-some years ago in northern D.C. in a day when, at Christmas Day, everything's shut. Boxing Day, everything's shut. And so what could I do? I could sit there and hold my toy and look at the box and imagine all the amazing things it was going to do on December the 27th. This last while, we've been talking about an amazing gift that God has given us. And that is the gift of church. An amazing, amazing gift. And we've talked about the pictures on the box. And we've talked about how this church is a place that melts walls between people. And we get together, and it doesn't matter what our background is. We become one. We learn to sing Spanish, for goodness sakes. We're a church. And we talked about how we're grounded in Christ. And even if people are different than us, we connect with them. We don't have to be all the same in everything. And we talked about how the church is a place where strangers become friends. Remember our discussion on hospitality? And forgiveness. Forgiveness that goes both ways and brings healing in our lives and in our community. And we talked about conflict. Conflict that not only we manage, but conflict that becomes a place of growth and development in our church. Imagine that. Now, unlike my Jupiter gyro, this thing comes with batteries, and that is the Holy Spirit. And when you switch that on, or when it gets switched on, amazing things happen. Now, the things that we've been talking about over the last while aren't just good concepts for us to learn about. I'd like to tell you about forgiveness. Oh, I get it now. From now on, I'm going to forgive. It doesn't work that way. We listen to that stuff. We read our Bible about it, and it's a little bit like Romans 7. We've flagged that one before. And Romans 7 says, I know what I want to do and what I'm supposed to do. And I want to do that. But I can't. I just can't. And that's where it is with us in the church too. We learn these things. And if we're going to say we're going to be that church by just learning them and doing it, it doesn't work. That switch needs to be turned on. And what happens when it does? Acts chapter 1 and 2. Amazing things happen. There you have a bunch of very ordinary people, and some very extraordinary things happen. Walls melt really, really fast. And strangers become friends. Well, you know the story. An amazing thing happened. So how do we get there? I want to talk just for a couple of minutes about what the Holy Spirit does. There's a number of things that the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that force which convicts us of sin. So before we're Christians and we look at our lives and we define what's success and not by our education, the amount of money we make, our looks, our education, whatever it might be, we define it that way. But there's something inside us that tells us there's something more. And that's the Holy Spirit. Or even when we are Christians and we're following the way of God, once in a while, we get that little niggle inside that says, something's not right. And it's like the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. That we're not, we've kind of got off the course here a little bit. And the Holy Spirit reminds us. And the good thing about this is, there are times when we think we are the ones who need to convict people of sin. There's somebody living in a way that we think is not right, and we say, well, I better go straighten them up. No. We better live in such a way that they look at us and say, wow, something's going on there. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to convict them of sin. Second thing the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit is the one that transforms us into children of God. Changes us. It's like Paul on the road to Damascus. Remember the story? Going down there to kill all the Christians, sees this bright light and turns around and becomes like the greatest missionary ever. And that's the kind of turnaround, that's the definition of becoming a Christian. Turning around. Before this, we were doing things our way. Now we've abandoned ourselves in Jesus Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, turning us around. The Holy Spirit also affirms in us that we are children of God. That, remember, Romans 8 talks about crying out, Abba, Father. There's an intimate knowledge of God, and the Spirit affirms that to us. Not always. We sometimes need people coming along us and patting us on the shoulder and saying, you know, it feels like everything's falling apart. God is there. Well, that's how the Spirit worked then, right? Work through your neighbor. Another thing the Holy Spirit does is it opens the Scripture to us. We open the Bible and we say, there's some principles here. Once I learn them, I've got it. It doesn't work quite like that. We believe in what's called a hermeneutic of obedience. What that means is when we open the Bible and say, God, when you teach me something, I'm going to do it. Pretty dangerous stuff to do, right? When you teach me something, I'm going to do it. The Spirit opens up Scripture to us so we understand it. But that often happens in the context of the church. We learn things together and then we need to go and put that into practice. But we've got our ears open, not only to hear and understand, but to do. The fifth thing the church does, the Spirit does, is it gives us the gift of church family. Each of us is given spiritual gifts, right? But my spiritual gift is for you, and yours is for me. And when we work together, we experience what God wants to give us through the Holy Spirit. I hear often people saying, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't have to talk to your spouse to be married. There's lots of things you don't have to do, but why wouldn't you want to? The church is a place where God gives us amazing things, so you don't have to. But boy, once you've experienced what God wants to bring you through the church, why wouldn't you want to be here and experiencing the richness that God gives? And the Spirit gives us a sense of hope. We get lost sometimes in where we are. We say, man, are things ever going to change in my life, in my family, in my church, whatever? And the Spirit is there saying, you know, look at the box again. There's some cool pictures on there you haven't seen. And that's what the Spirit of God is going to do in your life and in your church. Drawing us together, helping us to be the people God wants us to be. The Spirit of God also gives us good memory, and so I guess I kind of lost on that one. So the Holy Spirit is God's presence with us. And we can't choose to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you can work now. Because the Holy Spirit is there. God is here. But what we can do is we can open ourselves up to hear the Holy Spirit working. Ephesians chapter 5. As it works through the chapter from the beginning on, it talks to us about what it means to follow the way of Jesus. In verse 18, it says, be filled with the Spirit. And it's the sense of the Greek there is an ongoing sense. keep on being filled with the Spirit, or stay open so that God's Spirit can continually work in you, is a sense. So how do we stay open? How do we allow the Spirit of God to work in us? As we read through Acts chapter 2, is a wonderful picture beginning in verse 42 to 47. We're going to look at that again next week as we talk about celebration. But the first verse there is fabulous. It says, they devoted themselves to, and then there are four things it lists. First one is to the apostles' teachings, or to the word of God. And one of the things that we need to do is commit ourselves to spend time in Scripture. That's where we learn about God. That's where we are reminded that there's something going on here beyond ourselves. And so for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we need to spend a little time in here. Now, it's not something that should be drudgery. Oh, I got to read another 6.5 minutes today. It's something that once we, again, read with a heart of obedience, some really, really cool things happen. The second thing that we want to do, or that we're invited to do, rather, is to spend time in fellowship. Learning together, struggling together, it's family time. And this, as I mentioned before, is where the gifts of the Spirit that God has given us help us to be together who God has called us to be. And so as you and I sit and talk and share and pray and struggle together, we're drawn together and we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. One of the other neat things of the way that God has made the church, because we need each other, it's pretty hard to get self-centered. Because by definition, I need you. And that also opens us up for the Holy Spirit to work. The third thing that they did is they fellowshiped together. It's talking about the Lord's Prayer or the Lord's Supper here. Open themselves up to recognize God's presence. And whenever we do that, good things happen. It gets us away from focusing just on ourselves to recognize that God is there and some good things happen. And we've talked about this before. Passages like Isaiah 6 or Revelation 1 or 5, 6, 7. When the picture of who God comes up, everything changes. The way we see our life changes, and it fills it with sense of hope. And it says they prayed. They kept their focus on what it was all about, communicating with God. It's an important thing for us to do to make sure that we spend time focusing on who God is. Now, I don't know about you, but praying is something that I've had to learn to do. Yes, God is there, and we say, that's wonderful. Remember when I went to Bible school, they had prayer rooms. I thought, I'm going to start praying. I'll pray half an hour every day. You go in there and say, well, God, thank you for my family and the trees and this wonderful weather and what else is there? Oh, yeah, my class that's coming up. And you kind of run out of things. And it took me time to begin to realize that there's lots of parts of life and processing of life that I can bring to God until prayer becomes something that flows and becomes a part of us. And it also talks about verse 44 there, about how they abandoned themselves in God. It says they took everything they had, liquidated all their assets, put it in the offering, and we're happy. So we're going to have another offering now. What that's talking about is placing our lives before God. And so the way we spend our money, the way we spend our time, the way we treat the people around us, every aspect of our life needs to be part of our offering. It's a bit of a struggle. It's something that takes time. Somebody once said that being filled with the Holy Spirit and working on all of these things is like when we become a Christian, the Bible says we have the Holy Spirit within us. And the person said it's like welcoming the Spirit into your house. And there we are in the front entrance and the Spirit has filled this. And with time you say, oh, just a minute. There's more to my life than that. There's a kitchen here. We invite the Spirit in there. Fill me anew. And then slowly as we grow and mature, we recognize that there's more and more areas in our life. It's true also for our church. We begin to realize that there are some of the areas of our church that we've maybe been going through the motions. And that we need to slow down and we need to say as a church, God, we want to commit to you whatever it is, our budget, our Sunday school program, our worship services, all of those different aspects, we lay them before God and say, here it is. And so while we are filled, as we grow, there are more and more things that we realize that we can invite God to fill. Well, there it is. All the things God wants to do in our life and the way that we can open ourselves, and it's a learning process, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us individually and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us corporately as a church as we work to being the thing, the church that God wants us to be. And crazy things happen when we do. The church turns into the pictures on the box, all those great things. An exciting, life-changing, effective, relevant, happy church where walls come down, strangers become friends, forgiveness happens, and conflict draws us together. May God fill us with an awareness of what it means to open ourselves to His Spirit as we struggle to be His faithful church. Amen. I'd like to invite the Mercia family to come and share with us once more.
Now we're going to sing like a cumbia. It's like a Latin song. It's kind of fast. So I hope you enjoy.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Gloria, gloria, aleluya. Gloria, gloria, aleluya. Gloria, gloria, aleluya. En nombre del Señor. Cuando sientas que tu hermano necesita de tu amor, no le cierre las entrañas ni el calor del corazón. Busca pronto en tu recuerdo la palabra del Señor. Mi ley es el amor.
Gloria, gloria, aleluya.
Gloria, gloria, aleluya. Gloria, gloria, aleluya. Gloria, gloria, aleluya. El nombre del Señor. Cristo dijo que en quien llora su consuelo encontrará. Quien es pobre, quien es limpio será libre y tendrá paz. Rompe pronto tus cadenas, eres libre de verdad. Empieza a caminar.
Gloria.
Gloria, gloria, aleluya. Gloria, gloria, aleluya. Gloria, gloria, aleluya. El nombre del Señor. I'd
like to invite you to stand for the benediction and the final song if you are able. And now, people of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Number 216, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. And above it, Frank Neufeld actually wrote these words to me, and I'd like to share these words for all of us. May God's gracious Spirit always be our guide. Let's sing verse 1, 3, and 4. And just before we do that, I want to just tell you one quick thing. As Gary was speaking, a little poem came in, or a little song actually came into my head. When we talk about being a church and why we get to church together and use man as human, no man is an island, no man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. We need one another so we can defend each man as our brother, each man as our friend.